From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's December the 9th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then Stephen Platt of Barcher Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, the GAO says more oversight is needed to keep GMOs from accidentally making it into the food and feed supply. 22 senators are asking George Bush to just say no to the WTO. And health authorities in Hong Kong are on high alert for bird flu. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And I'll bring you up to speed on what the USDA's National Soil Tilt Lab is doing to quantify the value of carbon sequestration on working farmlands just like yours. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Mark Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day like this. December wheat at 427 and a quarter, down 0.75 cents. The March at 489 and a half, a penny lower. May at 502 and 0.75 cents, finished down 1. And December corn futures at 312 and a quarter, 2 cents lower for the day. March contract at 327 and 0.75 cents, down 2 and a quarter. The May at 338 and a half, down 2 cents. And July futures in the corn pit, a penny and 0.75 cents lower on the afternoon. January soybeans at $8.13, down 7.5 cents. The March at 8.18 and a quarter, 7 and a quarter lower. May futures in the bean pit at 8.27 and 3 quarters, down 7 and 1 quarter. And July futures at 8.37 and 3 quarters, down 7 and 3 quarters. December bean meal at $2.45.50, down $3.80. December bean oil 6 lower at $29.54. December live cattle futures for the afternoon, $82.60, down 50 cents. The Feb's at $82.27.5, down 40. January feeders at $86.55, $1.35 lower. And the March contract at $86.10, down 82.5 cents on this Tuesday afternoon. December lean hog futures at $57.27.5, up 30 on the day. And the February futures were unchanged to finish at 64.12 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures are trading at $42.50, down 1.21. Ethanol are the February futures there at $44.60 for the crude at $1.76 lower. January ethanol at 145 and 6 tenths, 1 and 2 tenths lower. February at 145, they're just about unchanged. Natural gas trading at 5.58 and 9 tenths, up 2 and 6 tenths. The RBOB gasoline for the January up rather down 2.5 cents at 93 and 6 tenths. January heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at 143 and 3 tenths, down 5 and 7 tenths. The propane 3 and 2 tenths higher at 58 and 7 tenths. And the gold is trading now at $772.40 an ounce, up $5 in the December contract. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 87.12 is currently trading just about 220 points lower for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 85.91 is up 0.25 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 216.17 is down 3.19 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. A winter weather advisory for snow is in effect for Joe Davies, Stevenson, and Carroll counties in far northwestern Illinois. That until 6 p.m. this evening. A winter weather advisory for snow and blowing snow is in effect for Ogden County in north central Illinois until midnight. And a winter weather advisory for snow is in effect for Winnebago, Boone, McHenry, and Lake Counties in far northern Illinois until midnight today. Tonight in northern and west central Illinois should be cloudy, some snow showers mostly early. In northern and west central Indiana and in east central and central Illinois, cloudy, some showers of rain gradually changing to snow. Elsewhere, cloudy with rain. Lows will range from 8 in far northwestern Illinois to 38 in the far southern parts of Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on what happened in the agricultural futures from Chicago, Kansas City, and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange. On the line with us from Newmarket, Indiana, is our regular Tuesday afternoon analyst, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's recap the way the numbers finished today. Futures in the corn pit down about 2 cents. Beans were off 7. Cattle futures were down 50 cents in the live cattle. Feeders were down $1.35, and lean hogs were up 30 cents in the nearby contract. How did you view what happened in Chicago today?
Well, I think there was more attention being paid to Governor Blagojevich and his situation than there was the grain markets, and that was most of the talk. We had a pretty slow day as far as the trade went, Todd. It opened up a little lower like the overnight trade had been, and when crude saw a little strength, why we popped up a little bit on the day, the corn making run up to, 336 there in the March, closing about 8 cents off that later in the day as the crude, the Dow, and everything else fell back in very, very, very thin volume today. A lot of evening up, a lot of people waiting and seeing what the government might say on Thursday. And, of course, the EIA report in the morning to see how our distillate stocks been used over this week, a little bit disappointing last week. So, but we do seem to see a little bit of change in attitude, more of a buy the dip rather than sell the rally type attitude of the in the light trade, but we don't know as we look ahead here, Todd. So that's basically what happened today in just sort of a quiet trade.
What are trade expectations for the numbers Thursday morning?
Well, I think everybody's looking for them to cut back the amount used for ethanol, and probably, we've got to scale back exports the way things are going. So, that's the big news out there. It's just how much scaling back the government will do with this report.
After the moves yesterday, most were thinking that maybe things are starting to settle out. Is today just a bit of a reaction to yesterday and dropping down just to settle down a bit? And are we near a bottom, do you think? Has most of the export business that won't be there been built into the marketplace in anticipation of the Thursday reports? Your ideas?
Well, I think that basically, we have dropped a lot here, and we dropped a whole bunch, on Friday. And I think that did take into consideration what the numbers, were looking forward as to how big they could be. Now, will the realization be bigger than what the expectations are? Or will it not be quite as bad? And I think that's what we're waiting to see that and get the reaction to the actual report, Todd. But, on the next hard dip, I think that I'd be more friendly than I would negative at that point in time. Friday was just a terribly negative day, just all the way around. Rumors of, three funds being totally liquidated, margin calls, a lot of things going on, and just the economy in general. But I think there does seem to be just a little bit of an air of better hope with the talk of the auto bailout happening, something going on at least to stabilize things for a while with the way the interest rates have dropped and the way the government's looking at trying to help the housing market. So, a little bit of optimism, maybe too much for the meantime, but, all in all, we would like to be probably more positive than negative on any dips.
Is there something in the global economy that you're eyeing at this point? For instance, are you worried about China? Are there other things?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, China is a very, very big concern of all of us. We have to remember that they own well over $2 trillion worth of American debt. They are our biggest purchaser of beans right now. They're what's holding our bean market together. We would like to see them continue to flourish and do somewhat well and keep their economy growing so they can continue to buy our grains and keep this market together, Todd. China going into recession, there was somebody on one of the news wires that said, well, if China goes into recession, then crude oil should go down and our gas should get a lot cheaper. But they need to remember we don't need China in a recession, them being our biggest debt holder.
Well, yeah, indeed. So China is, it's an interesting historically to look at China and its comparison, I suppose, to the United States during the 20s and the 30s. And how it impacted economies across the globe when it finally slipped into depression as opposed to recession. And it is a scary thought, I think.
Yes. I mean, and it is. They are a very, very important trading partner now. As China does well, it will help the American economy do well also.
All right. Anything to add on the livestock before I let you go for the day?
The livestock, the numbers are starting to shrink on back, and we hopefully will see some demand increasing here after the first of the year.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Just a quick reminder, I'll be on the road most of next week with the Ag Econ Summits, sponsored by the Farm Doc team. That's the Ag Economist here at the University of Illinois. Dave Dickey will be in the seat on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And, of course, he's with us now to bring us today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Government Accountability Office says in a report today that more oversight and coordination is needed among federal agencies to prevent genetically modified crops from accidentally being released into the food and feed supply. Since 2000, there have been 6 known unauthorized releases of GMO crops into the food supply involving GMO corn and rice. To boost oversight, the GAO recommended that the FDA make the results of its early food safety evaluations of GMO crops public. The FDA agreed and said it intends to post the results on its website. Also, the GAO recommends that the FDA and USDA improve their coordination. The GAO suggested developing a formal agreement to share information on GMO crops that could have adverse health implications. A group of 22 senators have sent a letter to President George Bush saying it is not worth holding more World Trade Organization talks right now if other countries are not willing to make more market concessions for U.S. farm exports. The letter comes 2 days after the WTO released the latest editions of the Agriculture and Manufacturing Negotiating Texts. The senators wrote Bush that, quote, the calendar should not drive the negotiations. An agreement that lacks the necessary balance will fail to win support from the Congress. Japan's government today says that nation fell into a deeper recession in the third quarter than first thought. The cabinet office said that Japan's economy shrank at an annual pace of 1.8% in the July to September period, compared with its original estimate of a 0.4% contraction. Overall weakness in the third quarter stemmed largely from a sharp pullback in corporate investment amid the unfolding global financial crisis. Hong Kong health authorities today say that they're raising the city's bird flu alert level to serious after the H5 virus killed dozens of chickens at a farm, prompting the cull of 80,000 birds. Laboratories in the city are now trying to determine the precise identity of the virus. A leading expert said it was likely to turn out to be the highly pathogenic H5N1 strain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can find on our website and listen to anytime you'd like at willag.org. They're posted there as MP3 files, or you can download them directly to your computer automatically each and every day as a podcast. It's all at WILLAG.org. While you're there, sign up for our free weekend newsletter. And if you can't get to the web and you'd like to hear some of that programming, you can always do it on our brand new telephone system. We call it our mobile analyst portal. The number is 217-333-3434. Updated at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. That's 217-333-3434. Now up next, the National Soil Tilt Lab in Ames, Iowa is researching the best ways for U.S. farmers to enter the carbon footprint game. I'll have more on how the lab is exploring carbon sequestration. The National Tilt Lab belongs to the USDA. The director of the Ames, Iowa facility says it focuses primarily on farming systems and environmental quality. More to the point on how soils are involved in those two issues, with the goal of improving productivity while at the same time reducing the environmental impact. And that brings us to carbon sequestration research Jerry Hatfield says his lab has been doing.
Carbon sequestration is really, you go back in time, is how we always built soil. We built soil because we put carbon in it. We put organic material into the soil. And now producers are going to be paid to sequester carbon. But you think about the advantages of it. You improve the carbon or improve the organic matter of the soil. You improve the infiltration rate. So it means we can absorb water quicker. We improve the water holding capacity because it's more sponge-like. We improve the nutrient cycling capacity. So you get all of these benefits that happen that have an agronomic piece, and yet they also have a monetary piece because farmers say, well, you know, I can put carbon in here and I get paid, you know, $5 a ton, $6 a ton, you know, whatever it happens to trade at. But it really has a benefit environmentally, and it has a benefit from a production side, too.
Research must be done in this area because of the uncertainty over just how much carbon can be put back into the soils and under what conditions that sequestration takes place.
One interesting piece is when you look at all of this is that we add carbon and we start adding it near the surface. But everybody's ignoring one very interesting aspect of this, and that's the microbial part of this whole system. Because the microbial systems within soils are the great tillers. And as we add carbon to the soil, it's really not about just adding carbon. What we're doing is we're feeding a microbial population that it's their decomposing bodies that really add to the organic matter.
So much so that Jerry Hatfield believes it's possible to restore soils to their condition prior to being broken by the plow and still be farming them.
To me, this is a very fascinating opportunity that we have in all of this, is that we often thought that all this carbon sequestration and carbon management relative to producers would be in the upper 6 inches of the soil profile. I think it's going to be much deeper in that. And the deeper we can get that carbon into the soil, the more permanent it's going to become. But I think these things are achievable under what we would consider normal management practices.
That does not mean the chisel plow, but rather really reduced soil tillage, probably with an application of composted manure and a longer crop rotation that includes a legume of some sort.
I can give an example of what we've seen in different pieces, and that is that most of our carbon that we put into the soil is coming from the old decaying root system to start with. If we don't disturb that old root system, and one of the easier ways to do that is to split the middles in planting corn. Instead of planting corn over top of the old row, is move 15 inches off and plant between. Let that old root row decompose over the next summer. And where we've done this, we've seen changes in soil carbon over a 2 or 3 year period by a full percentage point.
Adding a forage crop into the rotation puts an even deeper root system into the carbon sequestration mix. These are the types of things that the USDA's National Soil Tilt Lab are exploring in Ames, Iowa. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Each and every week, we take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Our time now to discuss those markets this day in the month with Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is an ugly day for the crude oil market at this time. Futures are sharply lower, and it looks like a bad day. What caused the drop?
We continue to see continued revisions downward in terms of demand prospects, along with the economic prospects. And that's going to continue, Todd. Right now, the EIA, or the U.S. Energy Agency, is looking for about a 500,000 barrel drop between 2008 and 2009 now. You know, going into the beginning of this year, we were looking at pretty substantial increases, and now that's turned right around.
Well, when you get crude at $40 a barrel, is there much downside potential still?
Well, I've thought not. Certainly, I think it's going to be up to some of these producers, particularly OPEC, who holds a meeting on December 17th, to probably get their house in order and look for some cutbacks to basically account for some of these declines and sharp declines in demand. I guess, you know, be careful what you wish for in terms of this market. And we've certainly seen the declines. The gasoline market has broken down below a dollar. It's currently trading 94 on spot right now. The cracks have basically shown little movement. And even in the springtime cracks, which is the margins that refiners basically make, the gasoline crack is pretty much a very flat proposition. So we're still seeing a lot of pressure on these markets. One potential positive here today is certainly the spreads, which had widened out between the nearbys and back months here in crude, have started to show some strength.
Let's talk more about the RBOB gasoline below a dollar. When you get down to that level, and you started to discuss it a bit, but what are the potential dangers and pitfalls that happen?
Well, certainly the refineries are operating on rather thin margins and at times losses right now, given the price of crude in those back months. And so as a result, you know, we've been seeing these refinery runs cut, which tends to possibly put it on a little bit steadier ground. But the demand has dropped so hard in many of these products that they have not been able to cut back as quickly as you might want to see them.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, that pretty much sums it up. Certainly, this $40 area and the OPEC meeting coming up is going to be key factors to consider.
Steve, thank you much for joining us.
You have a good afternoon.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He joins us once a month on a Tuesday afternoon to discuss the energy markets as they mostly relate to agriculture. Decided to concentrate on just the crude oil market today because it is so sharply lower, and we thought that was probably important to do. You can hear him again if you'd like anytime you want at our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A federal judge in Chicago has ordered Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich released on his own recognizance after the Democrat was hit with federal corruption charges. The governor was arrested at his home this morning. U.S. Attorney Peter Fitzgerald said in announcing the charges that Blagojevich had taken the state to a new low.
The most appalling conduct Governor Blagojevich engaged in according to the complaint filed today or unsealed today, is that he attempted to sell the Senate seat. The Senate seat he had the sole right under Illinois to appoint to replace President-elect Obama.
At the bond hearing this afternoon, U.S. District Judge Nan Nolan said good afternoon, Governor, in greeting Blagojevich. The governor was wearing sweatpants, gym shoes, and an athletic shirt. Blagojevich was released on a signature bond that specifies that he'll forfeit $4,500 bond if he doesn't appear in court. Blagojevich also was ordered to relinquish his passport and his firearm owner's identification card. State Attorney General Lisa Madigan is calling on Blagojevich to resign over what she calls shockingly flagrant conduct. Madigan says the federal charges make Blagojevich incapable of governing. State Senators Dan Rutherford of Pontiac and Mike Frericks of Champaign are also calling on Blagojevich to resign. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says Blagojevich should, quote, do the right thing and step aside. Quinn says the Illinois Constitution provides a way for the governor to temporarily step down when his ability to govern is impeded. State Representative Chapin Rose says he's been a harsh critic of the governor, but, quote, for the people of Illinois who've now been through this going on 10 years, the arrest of Blagojevich makes this just a sad day, just awful. We'll have more details about the arrest of Governor Rod Blagojevich on federal corruption charges following the closing market report. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Don.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you know what? It stopped snowing. It's not so cold, and we got rain here overnight.
Yeah, warming up, and this is a signal, Todd, of some significant changes in the jet stream pattern that are going to reverse the situation. While most of this early part of the winter, the cold has been in the middle and eastern part of the country, over the next week, 2 weeks, we're going to see the cold end up in the western side of the country. And, boy, I tell you, from what we're seeing on our forecast charts, it's going to be making some news. And this is going to be especially important for maybe some of the wheat country, winter wheat, spring wheat areas, seeing some severe cold. And we don't talk about agriculture in California much, but there could be some big impacts on California agriculture, as if some of our forecast charts are correct, some of the coldest weather in a long time, maybe as much as 50 years, could be heading to California next week, and that will cause some concern.
Well, what's the problems there, or potential problems, do you know?
Well, it'll be cold. There will also be some significant and possibly some heavy precipitation, but with the crops that are in season in California, it will be the potential for freezing. That'll be the biggest problem. And we are going to be concerned about some severe cold moving into some winter wheat country of the western high plains. I do think there's a good chance, though, that they may end up getting some snow cover before the worst of the cold moves on in. But that'll be something to watch early next week. Now, eventually, Todd, some of this bad weather that's out west will translate into some stormy weather for the Midwest, especially mid to late next week. We're going to see some of that cold air spill east, hit some Gulf of Mexico moisture streaming north. So initially, we'll see all the action out west, but it will make it into here. But we're talking about something in the 8-9 day time frame down the road.
Hope you have your battery-operated socks ready to go in that case. Hey, tell me how it is that the weather changed from the idea that most of that cold or those Arctic blasts would be spilling here into the Midwest as opposed to out west.
Well, a lot of it has to do with what's been going on pretty far away from us, over in eastern Siberia and the Gulf of Alaska. Get this. Temperatures are forecasted to possibly hit an incredible 80 degrees below zero, possibly in some areas of Siberia. And that pocket of cold air, which has been building since the early winter season, is going to break loose, go across the Bering Sea, and then that's going to cause an area of big high pressure to form up in the Gulf of Alaska, which is basically like opening the door to Arctic air that's bottled up on the north slope and east slopes of Alaska and allowing it to cut south right down the Pacific coast. We don't see this very often, but the forecast charts are getting more and more consistent with that solution, and it will spell for most of the country a very cold mid-December, although before we get cold here in the Midwest, we will have some warmer air out ahead of it.
Ow, that gives a whole new twist to the term Cold War. Dang. Hey, I got to let you go. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday.
See you, Todd.
That's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on the Closing Mark Report. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Thanks for listening. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.